You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. The U.S. endgame in Iraq is certainly the subject of campaign debate between John McCain and Barack Obama, but it's also the subject of some very real-life intense negotiations taking place in Baghdad, in this week in Europe, and in Washington. Sometime before the end of the year, the U.S. is going to have to disclose its precise intentions in Iraq. The U.N. resolution that allows U.S. troops and personnel to stay, fight, and operate there expires in less than 6 months. A new White House deal that reportedly will keep U.S. troops there long-term is in big political trouble. It's in trouble here. It's in trouble in negotiations with the government in Iraq. The question is, what is Iraq going to look like in 5 years? Is it going to look like South Korea and Japan with more or less permanent bases? Is it going to look like Vietnam, where the U.S. presence is but a memory? Lawrence Korb was an undersecretary of state for defense in the Reagan administration. He's now at the Center for American Progress. He speaks to us this morning from Oklahoma City. Larry, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You know, can you provide some clarity here? The Iraqi government is supposedly opposed to the U.S. position on what the long-term arrangement is going to be in Iraq. There's a lot of dispute over whether there are going to be permanent bases in Iraq. And then there's this whole question of the U.S. demanding that personnel, both military and subcontractors, get judicial immunity on a kind of an open-ended basis. What are the sticking points in these negotiations?
Well, the Iraqis basically want to be treated as a sovereign country. And they say that if American troops or foreign troops are here, they should be here under conditions that we set. For example, that if an American soldier or a private contractor were to violate what they see as Iraqi law, then the Iraqis could prosecute them rather than, say, for example, military people under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, or private contractors would be prosecuted back here at home rather than being prosecuted in Iraq. The next question is what would be the rules governing American military operations? Would they have to check with the Iraqi government, or could they go after what they perceive as terrorists without checking with the Iraqis? And so those are the sticking points. The Americans obviously do not want to see our people subject to Iraqi law, nor do they want to actually coordinate operations with the Iraqis, because they're concerned that the Iraqi government is infiltrated by some of the groups that they're going after.
How much does the fact that George Bush and Nour al-Maliki are lame duck outgoing executives, how much does that complicate these negotiations?
Well, it certainly complicates it for us, because the Iraqis basically say if we go and we do all of this, or we make what they perceive as concessions, and then the next president comes in and he decides he doesn't want them, then we're going to have to renegotiate this thing all over again. And the interesting thing is they really do pay attention to our elections, and they know, for example, the different positions of Senator McCain and Senator Obama on this.
Well, they're probably paying attention to the president, too. He's in Europe, and he made this comment yesterday that I wonder if you could react to, and it's about the subject of whether there are going to be permanent bases that are actually being built now in Iraq. Here's President George W. Bush.
You read stories, perhaps in your newspaper, that the U.S. is planning all kinds of permanent bases in Iraq. That's an erroneous story. The Iraqis will learn it's erroneous, too.
Larry, the Iraqis, of course, are witness to the enormous amount of construction that's taken place in Iraq. What kind of clarity can you give to that statement from the president?
Well, again, it's a permanent basis in the eye of the beholder. Technically speaking, our bases in Japan and Germany can be considered not permanent, because they could be closed at some future time. And that, of course, is the question: who will decide when this base should be closed or remain open? And so the Iraqis contend that the United States has asked for 200 facilities in the country, and our people are saying no, we think we can get by with 50. But if you see those bases, I mean, they look very, very, very permanent.
Huh. And so it's between 200 and 50, even though the president is saying zero?
Well, he's saying no permanent, but obviously we have bases there. And, of course, another sticking point is control of the airspace. United States wants to control the airspace, they say, so we can fly in supplies and people and also use our air power against suspected terrorists. The Iraqis are afraid that we would then use that to fly over Iraq and attack Iran.
You know, we haven't even gotten to the issue of Iran, but I want to close with this question, because the Iraq-Iran relationship, of course, is a huge deal in all of this. But as we evaluate the statements from John McCain and Barack Obama over the next few months, talking about getting out or not getting out, is there any way that they can speak with clarity on this until these issues are resolved by this administration, Larry?
It'd be very difficult, because when the UN mandate expires, Chapter 7, which says Iraq is a threat to security and so therefore we can occupy the country, there's no legal basis for us being there, and that expires 1 January, and the new president doesn't come in till the 20th of January. So you have to have some resolution. My guess is you would probably extend the UN resolution for at least 6 months.
All right, Lawrence Korb, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Lawrence Korb is former U.S. Undersecretary of Defense and a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He spoke with us from Oklahoma City this morning.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.